I want to speak about one of the key things to a lasting relationship. And we're going to look into the Bible and see a couple that did not have this key thing, and it led to destruction of their relationship. And the couple I'm going to speak about, the text is Judges 15, verse 6. But let me give you some background to the text before, is that we're going to speak about Samson and his wife. Now, this is not Delilah. Samson has not yet met Delilah. And so this is Samson and his wife. And so Samson had a wife before Delilah. And the Bible says that Samson gets married to this woman. And when they're having their feast and all the celebrations, Samson challenges the men that come to the feast. Now, what has happened here is Samson has married a Philistine woman. And so basically, he marries this woman. And so this woman, her people are different than his people. And so Samson challenges them and says, listen, let's make a bet. And they're like, okay. He says, I'm going to set you a riddle, and I bet that you're not going to be able to figure this riddle out. And so he sets them a riddle, and they can't figure it out. And they're trying to find it out, and it's been 3 days. And so what they do is they threaten Samson's wife. They threaten Samson's wife. And they say to Samson's wife, if you don't tell us, we're going to hurt you. If you don't tell us if you don't tell us actually when what the riddle is, we're going to hurt you. And so Samson's wife goes to Samson, and she starts to try to manipulate Samson. So she doesn't go directly and say, Samson, they've threatened me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Sort this out. What she does is she goes to Samson and she says, Samson, I'm not putting on a voice. She goes, Samson, if you loved me, you would tell me. That's how many know that's manipulation? And some ladies, you don't want to say amen, but that is manipulation. And so she comes to Samson and she says, Samson, if you loved me, you would tell me. And what the Bible says is that Samson actually said, listen, it's not about loving you. I haven't even told my parents. That's what Samson says to her. And so she's going on and on and on. And so the Bible says that she wears him down with her whining and manipulation. She wears him down. And so eventually Samson breaks and he tells her and he says, okay, this is the answer to the riddle. And so she gets the answer to the riddle. She goes out and she goes and tells Samson's enemies. Then these guys come in who Samson's made the bet with, and they walk in, they're all got some swagger, and they come in and they say, we know what the answer is, and they answer his riddle. And Samson says these words, he says, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have known my riddle. Don't ask me what that means, I still haven't figured that one out yet, plowing with heifers. But the issue is this, is that Samson gets angry, he leaves. And the Bible says that later on, he starts to feel a bit lonely and he goes back for his wife. And this is some time has gone on now. And when he goes back for his wife, the father-in-law says, I thought you didn't want her, so he gave her to your companion, your best man, basically. And so if he was the best man on that day, maybe he was happy or sad, I don't know. And so he goes on. And so Samson is vexed now. So what Samson does, Samson goes on a spree of destroying things. He goes mad, and once the Philistines say, look what has happened, this is the text. So I've given you the background. Let's go into the text. The Bible says, then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her, that's his wife, and her father with fire. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now, Father, for your wisdom, your grace, your mercy. I pray for your spirit, Father, your presence to come into this place. Father, let our hearts be good ground. Let us learn instruction from this word. Father, I pray that you'd be magnified, glorified. Help us to build lasting relationships according to your pattern. We ask you this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. I've always, I read this many, many years ago, and something struck out. Something hit in my mind, and I've never preached on it. But going through this series, it really gave me the illustration to say what I needed to say, is that here in this scenario, I think to myself, this woman dies, she gets burnt, they kill her, they set fire to her, they set fire to the father, and so what started with a wedding ended in destruction. How many know that's not the way you want your wedding to end? Ladies, how many know that you don't come start with a dress, end up... No. That's not what a woman wants. That's not what she's thinking about. That's not happily ever after. That's nothing near it. And so here is something that started so well, ended so bad. Now, there are many relationships that start well and end bad. I'm not as gullible as I used to be to think that everyone that looks nice, dresses nice, smells nice, is nice. It's not like that. And I realized that some of the relationships that I see, and I've spoken to men and women that have got into something, got into a relationship, it started so well, but it ended so bad. Why? Simple, with this situation, it's very simple. There was no communication. See, if you're going to build a lasting relationship, I'm not talking about a one-night stand. A one-night stand doesn't need much. Listen, it doesn't need much to have a one-night stand. A one-night stand is very crass. It's nothing. You cannot build a society, a life, children, anything responsible on a one-night stand. To build a lasting relationship, you're going to need communication. See, and when the communication breaks down, the relationship is going to break down. See, when we're talking about communication, think about this. If she would have just went to Samson and said, Samson, these guys have threatened me to find out what your riddle was, Samson could have dealt with it. If you know Samson at all, you know that Samson never lost a fight. You know that Samson could have been like, what? Johnny Rambo, I'm just going to deal with these guys. But no. What she did is, rather than communicating, she tried to manipulate. And through the manipulation, rather than the communication, it became devastation. This is what you see. See, the word communicate, let me paint a picture here of what we're talking about. Imparting or exchanging of information by speaking, writing, or using another medium. If you look in a thesaurus, I don't know if that's the word, but I'm bad at pronunciation. But listen, conveying, reporting, presenting, relaying, spreading, or passing on. That's what we're talking about. Is that when I'm communicating with you, how I feel, what I saw, what I'm going through, I give it to you, I pass it on to you. In a relationship, there are things inside of you that you need to be able to pass on to the other person. Things about you that you need to pass on. See, without communication, you cannot fully know somebody. See, you can start a relationship with attraction. I saw you, you saw me, and there was an attraction. But you will not get to know that person without communication. See, many relationships are built on observation, not communication. I saw something I liked about you. I saw the car that you came up in. I saw the Gucci belt you was wearing. I saw your figure. I saw your long eyelashes. And so that's observation. And so you're starting to build a relationship on observation. But let me tell you this now. Observation can show you what the person is doing, but only communication can reveal to you why. And the problem is not knowing what people are doing. Any fool can observe what someone is doing. But the real communication and real relationships is I know why you do what you do. See, I've been married now for 10 years with my wife, and I get to know this woman. I know her. Sometimes when you are in a good marriage and you're close to someone and someone that you love, you just know them. And I could say something to my wife, okay, let's do this. And just by the way she responded, I'm like, no, I know you don't want to do that, do you? Yeah, I got that figured out. That was a wrong move there. The other day, I remember we were supposed to, Mondays is usually when I take my wife out. Usually Mondays is the day where I'm going to slow down that day. It's a day where I said to God, after pioneering the church, giving it every day, visiting people, calling people, talking to people, God said to me, listen, you better maintain this marriage. If you want this marriage to last, you better maintain this marriage. You better maintain this woman. Because you can get another, listen, the church can get another pastor. I can't get another wife. And so I made a decision. Every Monday, I give my wife time. That's time for me and my wife. I'm going to invest in that woman. And so I remember saying, look, Monday we can do this. And my wife said, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, okay. I knew. I know. Because listen, I communicate with her, and so I know this woman. It's terrible that you're in a relationship with someone and you see what they're doing, but you don't know why they're doing it. Sometimes I have to sit down with a man and or a woman in a relationship and they're doing something, and the man will say, why is she doing that? And I can look and say, bro, I can see why she's doing that, because you're not taking care of business. As simple as that, because there's no communication. See, through communication is where you get to know somebody. You know, people use this terminology, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. How do you give someone your heart? You cannot give someone your physical heart. You know, that's not love. That's a horror movie. You know, that's, you know, give me your heart. That's not love. That's scary. So what do we mean by that? Because when we say those words, we like it. I gave him my heart. I give you my heart. Give me your heart. How do you give someone your heart? You give someone your heart by communicating. Because you talk to that person and you tell that person things. And you start to show that person things about you that maybe you haven't told anybody else. See, that's how you communicate. And this is why I always say to people, you know, when you get into a relationship with somebody, be very careful what you say to them and how you start to talk with them. Because before you give your heart, you need to make sure that that person can protect it, can be responsible for it. And this is why, you know, I always say to sometimes a sister will come, oh, there's a guy in my workplace and he's really nice and we're talking. I said, be careful, sister. Be careful. Because you start talking. Next minute, you know, you've already given your heart and you haven't even realized that this man is not faithful. He's not responsible. The Bible says that man has an enemy. John 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes... the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The Bible says there's a thief, there's a devil, that we all have an enemy, and that enemy is the devil. And he wants to destroy your life. He has an agenda. He wants to destroy your life. The devil has a destiny for you. See, when you see the wickedness of this world, rape, pedophiles, murder, people being brutally beaten within an inch of their life, this is a wicked agenda. The devil, because there is a devil. If you believe in God, you got to believe there's a devil. The Bible says there's a devil. Jesus warns us about the devil. This is Jesus saying, listen, mankind has an enemy. And the devil's agenda, people want to change, you know, the world always wants to paint something stupid. The devil, like, he's like this guy dressed up with a red pitchfork and horns, and he's like, ha, 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 come on, let's go have some good time, man. You don't want to join him. You know, cartoons, boom, boom, there's an angel, and the angel's always telling you to do something boring, and the devil's like, come on, live a little, party. And so it's like, yeah, come on, the devil's cool, and the devil's, listen, the devil wants to destroy your life. He wants to strip you of everything which is good. He'll rob your health. He'll rob your sanity. He'll rob your purity. He'll rob your family. He'll rob everything. He has a one-track mind, and that mind is to destroy mankind. And how does he do that? Well, one of the biggest ways that the devil wants to destroy mankind is to destroy marriage. See, the devil hates marriage. You know, the Bible says that marriage, you read the book of Ephesians 5, and so the Bible says that marriage is the picture or a metaphor or a play act on earth of what Christ and the church is. So when you look at a married couple in the church that are living right, God has given you a little miniature play of what Christ is to the church. That Christ is the husband, protecting and providing. God is into marriage. The devil hates marriage. See, marriage is good for mankind. children do better in marriage. That's facts. That's a statistical fact. Children that are born in marriage do better than children that are not born in marriage. Now, I always have to add this little political correct thing. I was not born in marriage. My mom and dad were not married. So don't, oh, Pastor's just making me feel guilty for having children out of marriage, or I was born out of marriage. I guess I'll just go and hang myself. No, 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 that's not what I'm saying. I'm just giving you the statistics, the facts. Children that are born in marriage do better statistically than children that are not. Children that are born in a home where there is a father present and active do better. If you look into prisons and child suicide and child drug addiction and child substance abuse, majority, like 70 or 80% of them, will be children that did not grow up with a father in the home. So, I read one of these statistics where they said that women are safer that are in good marriages than women that just shack up with their boyfriend. They're more likely to be beaten and abused. Women that go around looking for boyfriends and not telling a guy, listen, unless there's a ring, there's no whatever. There's no ding-a-ling. They're happier. They feel more fulfilled. Men earn more. Married men earn more than single men. Again, this is statistically. Usually, I believe that married men live longer. And let me give you this one. This one, I've not read this. This is my own. Married men smell better than single men. So listen, if I want to destroy mankind, I want to destroy marriage. And if I want to destroy marriage, I need to destroy relationships. And if I want to destroy relationships, I'll destroy communication. See, in war, one of the tactics to weaken your opponent is to break down their lines of communication. That was it. They'll go in. When you want to attack a city or a place and there's a formidable foe there, let's blow up their aerials. Let's get rid of this, jam their signal so that they can't communicate. There's no lines of communication. And if there's no lines of communication, what happened is you've weakened that army. See, the devil wants to destroy marriage, and what he'll do is he'll destroy communication in relationships. There is misunderstanding and arguments and fear. See, one of the reasons why this woman, why the wife of Samson would not speak to Samson is fear. She's manipulated out of fear. This is why I'm saying sometimes in a relationship, somebody is doing something. You're like, why are you doing that? Think about this now. She goes to Samson and she says this, you don't love me. But the issue is not the issue. It wasn't nothing to do. So imagine if Samson said, okay, let me come home a bit earlier. Let me cook a dinner for her. Let me bring home roses. But that wasn't the issue. And inside of her, there was another fear. And it could be women here that you're looking for love and you're like, you don't love me, you don't love me. But the issue is not being loved more. The issue is there is something on the inside of you that you need to communicate. And the same is with men. Because when communication breaks down, the relationship will break down, and you cannot build a lasting relationship without communication. You know, there's a phrase when we say it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And some people have not learned this. Well, what did I say? It's not what you said, bro. It's how you said it. See, if you're going to communicate, you have to understand it's not just talking. We're not just talking about talking, because you can talk. That doesn't mean you're communicating. Because I told the guys this morning, I remember going to Italy for work and getting off the plane and a guy coming up to me, just talking to me in Italian. Yeah, buongiorno, questa luna, this. I was like, no, bruv, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm not Italian. He was talking, but he's not communicating. He's talking, but he's not communicating. See, for you to communicate with me, you've got to talk my language. For me to communicate with you, I've got to talk your language. See, if we're not on the same language, then there's a language barrier. So we can't communicate. And what it does is, when you don't know my language, it reduces the communication down to the basics. And so, really, we are reduced down to signs. You know, it'd be like, oh, I'd like a drink of water. Water? Huh? Oh! And then they give you, I don't know, something else. So what we understand here is that when we're not talking the same language, we've amplified the potential for misunderstandings. You got to listen, home in on where I'm going with this. This is going to help you. If you do not speak my language, I do not speak your language, we're reduced down to basics. If we have to communicate on the basics, then we've heightened the opportunity for misunderstanding. See, the antithesis of this, meaning the opposite, the total opposite of this, is when you know my language, you're able to articulate. You're able to articulate what is on the inside of you. The word, when we say articulate, what we're talking about is speaking fluently and coherently. So when you speak to me about something that's going on in your life, it's almost like I see it in high definition. I see it in high definition. See, one of the most frustrating things is this, is when you're trying to tell somebody something, but they're not getting it. And it's mega frustrating when you're in a relationship. I told you. I'm trying to tell you. Remember, I told you. And they're not getting it. And you go round and round and round and round and round. And then you have to bring in me, and I'm talking to you. Hey, no, but the pastor, they're not getting it. Maybe you're not speaking each other's language. Because in relationships, men and women have different languages. In a relationship, a man and a woman has a different language. Because we were made for different purposes. God made Adam and he put him in the garden and he gave him a task. He told him to do something. And so Adam was always made for position. Adam always knew position. When Adam was made, he was made for position. Soon as Adam was made, he was made and he was given a job. But God looked at Adam and he says, you know what? It's not good for you to be alone, Adam. So I'm going to make a helpmate for you. And so he made Eve. And so Eve, the first thing that Eve sees, she sees God, then she sees Adam. First thing that Adam saw God and he saw a job. See, Adam was made for the task. Eve was made for relationship. Adam was made for a task. Eve was made for relationship. This is why we speak different languages in the relationship. Men and women speak differently. Men can sit down for hours and talk about statistics. See, when men talk, majority of the time, what we do is we share information. We share information. This is what we want to talk about, information. We want to talk about who scored. What was the game like? Hey, your team is rubbish. My team is better. Yeah, but remember my team, but your team won this cup. Yeah, when was the last time your team won a trophy? Back in, and you know all the statistics. So we sit down, talk about a car. Oh, I've seen the new BMW M3, yeah. And it can go 0 to 60 in this. And we want the statistics. We want to know how fast, how high, how big. And we want to share information. Because we're task-orientated, task-driven. Where is that different with a woman? Usually, a woman will sit down with another woman and talk about her experiences, how she feels about what she's going on, and how the other person feels about how she feels. And so I went to the hairdressers, and guess who I saw? And she had on this, and so, you know, I went to the barbers, and I saw so, and he had a pair of jeans on. No, men don't talk about those things. We just usually don't talk about that. Usually, a woman will talk more about how did that make you feel? My wife always asks, babe, how did that make you feel? I don't know. You know, I thought, maybe I need to be more in touch with my family. I don't know. I did it. You never say how it made you feel. I don't think like that. You know, I don't sit down with Pastor Tops and, yeah, I went to the barbershop. How did that make you feel?
feel, bro? When he gave you that fade, how did you feel? I don't know, slightly higher than usual. I'm not sure if I'm getting gray, you know.
Women are relational. Men, task-orientated. We share information. See, in a relationship, remember what I said, if you don't speak each other's language, you have to reduce down to the signs. And the signs heighten the potential for misunderstandings. This is why if we don't talk this, if you don't know my language and I don't know your language, we keep misunderstanding each other. And at one point, we've got to open up dialogue and we need to understand. I need to know your language, you need to know my language. Let me break this down. The man's language is the position of respect. If you want to open up dialogue with a man, you need to speak the language of respect, the position of respect. And a woman's language is the position of security. This is a woman's language. It's different than a man's language. Let me show you this as it just plays out, because like I said this morning, there's always someone who's different. I used a different word this morning. I said there's always a freak. But if you have home magazines, house magazines, how many know what I'm talking about? House magazines, House and Garden, house magazines, these magazines. And you have car magazines. Who buys which? The majority of car magazines are bought by men, and the majority of home magazines are bought by women. I've yet to see a sister that buys car magazines that we could sit down and look and say, oh, look at that. Pastor, have you seen that? Oh, yeah, look at this. The new version's come out. Oh, look, 20-inch rims. That's serious. Oh, look, leather. Yeah, that's a new pack. It's an AMG pack on the Mercedes. Yeah. Most women don't. Now, like I said, there's always someone who's different. Amen. We will say no more. But it's the same with the home magazines. Bro, man, check this out. Look at this house. Look at the drapes. Oh, imagine having a kitchen like that. Now, there's maybe some brothers here sitting in their seat. Oh, my days. Why is that? Because the majority is this. The car is a status of position. The bigger, come on, let's be honest. The bigger and better your car is, that's a position in this world, in the West at least. That's the position. It's a positional thing. The home is security. The home represents where you're safe, you're secure, your comfort zone. See, the language that each of us speak is different. And if you're going to open up communication, if you're going to have dialogue, you need to understand the language of the person that you're trying to speak to. If I'm a man, you've got to speak to me through the language of respect, the position of respect, to open up dialogue. Let me show you something here. If you boy me, You speak to me like I'm a boy. Automatically, without me thinking, I start to shut down. I don't want to hear you. I'm turning off. You're not getting through to me because you're not speaking my language. And you got to understand that the man is more insecure about his masculine position than the woman is about her feminine position. The man is more insecure because, let me prove this, because I understand what I'm talking about here is a bit of science. But this is the issue. Every month, a woman's body reminds us she's a woman. Every month. You're a woman. As soon as a woman conceives a child within days and weeks, her body starts to change and say, listen, you're a woman. And when that baby is born, that baby comes out and straight away her body is ready to nourish that child. You're the mother of that child. You're a woman. Now, everything in society is reminding her. She doesn't even need things around her. Her body is reminding her, you're a woman, you're a woman, you're a woman. Now, let me play this out with a man. nothing every month reminds me I'm a man. Nothing happens to me. Like once a month, oh yeah, I'm a man. Okay. Nothing happens to me. A man can conceive a child and go on for months and years and never know, because nothing about him changes. And even once that baby is born, it's not like something in his body, oh, a baby's born, I'm a dad now. Wow. Nothing happens. So how does a man know he's a man? He knows by his peers, or the society around him, or the elders around him that would say, listen, this is what a man is. This is why we have terminologies like man up, but we don't have woman up. This is why we say things like, you the man. We don't say, you the woman. Because a woman is not looking for my position. She doesn't need affirming in her position. She doesn't look for that. That's not her main goal. But a man needs respect. He needs you to speak to him and speak to him with respect. To say, you are a man. I'm going to treat you like a man. I'm going to speak to you like a man. See, once a man is spoken to like that, he'll rise to the challenge of that. See, there are many women, they don't know how to speak to their man. And they complain about their man because he don't do this and he don't do that. Well, maybe if you would stop boying him and start speaking to him and treating him like a man, then maybe he would rise to how you speak to him. Because my wife treats me like a man. My wife don't boy me. When I come home, my wife talks to me like a man. She speaks things. Listen, ladies, it's not, men are not complex. Can I tell you that? Men are not complex at all. We are simple, simple beings, man. Simple. Feed us. Why are you laughing, man? Yeah, see? Yeah, you guys are bad, man. And it's Sunday and we're in church, man. You guys are bad. Anyway, we don't have many needs. If you will tell a man, you the man. Me? The man, yeah? Hey, you're the strong, hey, you've been working out? I don't know, a little bit. They'd be like, boy, days, you're mad strong. Hey, look at your biceps. Hey, do you need help with that? Let me carry that for you. You got that? A man will rise to the challenge. If you speak to a man the language of respect, he will respond to you. But if you boy him, no. He'll do a few things. And I'm not talking about this is what he should do. This is just how it works. He'll either shut up and he basically becomes henpecked. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. But eventually, you're going to be frustrated. Some of you women, yeah, I want that. No. You do not want a wimp. Because one day you're going to need protection. One day there's going to be someone try kicking the door and he's going to send you. Because you treat him like a boy, so he's going to act like the boy and send mommy to go sort out business. Or he's going to run off. He'll just be like, one day you come home, next day he's gone. He just don't come back again. Or you challenge him, and if he really is a child on the inside, he becomes aggressive and violent. And there is never an excuse for a man to put his hands on a woman. But I'm telling you now, this is why you need to find a good man and speak to him like a man. Let me come over to the ladies' language. A woman's language is the language of security. See, this is the difference between men and women. I don't need my wife to speak to me security. She doesn't need to be like, you know what, Courtney, I'm gonna keep you safe. I don't need that. I need her to show me respect. I need to be. We understand both of us, men and women, both need respect. It just plays out differently. We're not saying a man doesn't need to respect a woman. We're saying it plays out differently. See, what a woman needs is security. She needs to know, bro, that you've got her back. She needs to know that you will take care of business. She needs to know that she's secure with you. That you're not running around with other women. You're not a flirt. You're not a ladies' man. See, there are some stupid men that think that, you know what, it makes them more attractive because they're a ladies' man. I'm a ladies' man, so more ladies want me. Well, the wrong ladies want you. That's dodgy ladies want you. And you'll get what you deserve. But a real woman doesn't want a ladies' man. She wants a one-woman man. She wants a man who says, you know what, I've got your back. You're protected with me. I'm going to take care of you. See, many times in the church, we know about submission, that the wife should submit to the husband. And some men, hey, you better submit to me. Listen, bro, if you would show her some security, if you spoke that language that she was safe under your leadership, that she's protected if she follows you, that you will put yourself in danger before you would allow anything to affect her, then she would willingly submit to you. Because you've got to show up. Listen, it's secure. I remember one time, you know, someone tried to get me on a bike or a boat or something like that. And I was like, I'm not getting on that. That thing ain't secure. That thing don't look safe. And sometimes you're trying to get a woman on board with you. And she's like, no. I'm not safe on that. You don't show me security. See, if you're married and you're kind of, things are tight and you're trying to pay bills, and you go out and spend £400 on a Gucci belt, you're like, Pastor, you really don't like the Gucci belt, do you, Pastor? Right? You've communicated to her, you put yourself first. You don't put her first. See, I got to make sure that my wife is taken care of before I take care of myself. I don't go out and spend my money on me and then like, wow, you know, so you said, wear them shoes. You've only had them 5 years. They're only worn out on both sides. See, because we speak different languages. See, if you only speak your own language, there's going to be a communication breakdown. When there's misunderstandings, look at the language you're speaking. There's arguments. Then there's a communication breakdown. And like I said to Kyle and Leanne this morning, I said, listen, don't let the communication break down between you guys. Because once communication breaks down, once you have an argument, I'm not talking to you. You talk to me first. You say, listen, once you allow that communication to break down and to stop, the relationship is going to stall. You know what you stalled? You didn't give the car enough fuel. If you've ever stalled a car, you wasn't giving that car enough fuel. And that's what will happen. The relationship will just stall because there's no communication. The reason why this is so difficult for us is because our relationship with God is broken. Our relationship with God is broken. Listen, when your relationship, this is why I love the Bible. God puts an emphasis. He says, when your relationship with me is right, your relationship with others is right. When you've got a right, when this is your horizontal, this is your vertical relationship. When your vertical relationship, you and God, is right, your horizontal, this is horizontal relationship, will be right. And the problem is, many people, their vertical relationship is jacked up. They're not right with God. They're not living right with God. And you can try to fix every other horizontal relationship, but without God, it's so difficult. This is why there is no peace. You know, there is never a period of time where there's not a war going on in the world. You know, right now, I haven't looked at it recently, but I remember when a few years ago when I studied this, there was about 12 wars going on in the world at one point, and that was only 3 years ago. There's always wars going on. We will never have full peace. You know why? Because we don't have peace with God. This is why there is beef. This is why 50% of marriages end in divorce and 70% of second marriages. So those of you that are married are thinking about, let me get out and start again. Listen, statistically, if you want to be happy, work out that first marriage. That's the best way, because you get out, your 70% of those marriages are going to fail. If you can't make the first one work, then it's going to be even harder to make the second one work. Dysfunctional families and everything. You know why? We need to get things right with God. And the problem is the same with the language between man and woman. It's the same between man and God, that man is speaking a different language to God. Man speaks the language of sin. God speaks the language of holiness. Man speaks the language of sin. Everything we do is full of sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, we are born speaking the language of sin. It is our native tongue. Before we even know what we're doing, we can lie. We can steal. We can take things. Sin is our native language, and we speak it. And God says, no, 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 no. I will not have relationship with you because I'm not hearing that. See, sin and holiness cannot mix. God will not hear you, and you cannot hear God. That's why there's some people here, you're like, how can you be so sure about God? How can you be so committed? How can you have so much faith? Because we hear him. I don't, because you're not speaking his language. You're speaking sin, he's speaking holiness. And that's why you're on the outside. Jesus says this, he says, unless you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. You shall not even see it. You must be born again. The first time you was born, naturally born, speaking the language of sin. Said you need to be born again. See, when two people speak different languages, need to communicate, they need to call somebody. What do they call for? What do they call for? A terminator. No, a translator. Amen. I'll be back. No, 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 we don't call for that. A translator. When two people that cannot speak each other's language, what they say is, we need a translator. And a translator, what it's doing is mediating between one and the other. And man needs a mediator. The only way you can get to God, the Father, you need a mediator. You need one that can take on the language of sin and bring to man the holiness of God. You need a mediator. Every single person here, you need a mediator. If God is going to make you right so that you can communicate right, have right relationships with man, you need to make peace with God. You need a mediator. God will not deal with your sin directly. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. See, we needed a mediator, and Jesus became that mediator. See, Jesus came and he took your sin. He took your sin. You think, well, why can't God just forgive me? Why can't he just, and some people think, yeah, like, where will you go when you die? I'll go heaven. Why? Because God loves me. Where does it say that in the Bible? It actually doesn't say that in the Bible. You've just gone to church and maybe grew up in church or had a Bible or and you just, you know, some kind of joke business. That the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the only way to get to the Father is through the Son. God has to punish that sin. And that's why Jesus had to die. You can't just get to God speaking the language of sin. You read in Habakkuk, it says that God will not even look on sin. He will not even look on it. The Bible says in Psalms that if I have wickedness or iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God does not hear me. People are like, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I thought he hears everybody. If you speak the language of sin, he will not hear you. And so the only option you've got, the only way to salvation, there is, what about all the other religions? There is only one way. There is only one mediator, the Bible says. Is that not what it said? There is only one mediator that can take your language of sin and bring the language of holiness to mankind. And it's Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, you become born again. Spiritually born. The word born again means to be born from above. See, we were born on the earth, fleshly born. But what we're talking about now is being spiritually born. That means you're born with the spiritual tongue. You're born speaking the language of holiness. When you go to God and you pray, Pastor, are you saying you're perfect? No. When I pray, at the end of the prayer, what did I say? In Jesus' name. God hears it. It's been translated from my sinful lips. I'm not perfect, but it's been translated. God hears it because I have a translator. I have a mediator. When God looks at me, he sees Christ because he is my mediator. Oh, I just want to go to God without the mediator. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you stand before God without Christ, the wrath of God will boil down on you. Because all God will see is your sin. All he'll see is your sin. And so for the prideful man that doesn't want to accept Christ, this is devastating. This is bad news. But for the humble man and woman that will say, you know what? Let me put on Christ. This is good news. That even though I'm not perfect, as I'm in Christ, God hears me. I now speak his language because I'm born of above. And when your vertical relationship is fixed, God will show you how to fix your horizontal relationships. It all comes down to communication. God is a God who communicated with us through his word. God desires that we would communicate with one another. God saves people through communication. And so, if we want to have lasting relationships, we need to understand the value of communication. Amen?